Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The central bank will launch interventions on foreign exchange markets to offset a further depreciation of the crown. Klára Šimáčková Laurenčíková has been named the Czech government's commissioner for human rights. And the Prague Spring Music Festival opens on Thursday night with Bedřich Smetana's My Country. The National Bank Board has decided to launch interventions on foreign exchange markets due to the significant depreciation of the crown in recent days. The move is to offset a longer-term depreciation at a time of high inflation. Sales from the proceeds from foreign exchange reserves will be suspended for the duration of the interventions. The crown weakened against both major world currencies following the appointment of Aleš Michl to the post of governor. Michal opposes the current interest rate hike cycle. Klára Šimáčková Laurenčíková has been named the Czech government's commissioner for human rights. Mrs. Šimáčková Laurenčíková has hitherto chaired the government's committee for the rights of children and heads a national body promoting inclusion in Czech education. She says she aims to advocate for children, seniors and the handicapped and to support equal opportunities and solidarity in Czech society, as well as working to help refugees to integrate. The Czech Banking Association has downgraded its estimate of Czech economic growth for 2022 to 1.8%. In its previous forecast in February, the Czech Banking Association expected gross domestic product to grow by 3.7% this year. According to the association, economic growth will be affected by the impact of the war in Ukraine, problems in supply chains and inflation. Fuel prices in the Czech Republic have risen significantly for the third week in a row now. The best-selling Petrol Natural 95 has risen by 1.3 crowns per litre to an average 44 crowns 25 halers in the past week. Diesel is currently selling for 46.44 per litre, which is 87 halers more than a week ago, according to data from CCS, which monitors prices. The price growth is, which is also driven by strong demand, is expected to continue in the coming weeks. The 77th annual Prague Spring Music Festival will open today with a traditional cycle of symphonic poems, My Country by Bedřich Smetana, performed by the West Eastern Divan Orchestra, a unique ensemble founded by Daniel Barenboim in 1999 to promote dialogue between the different cultures of the Middle East through music and coexistence. Conductor Barenboim, who was scheduled to open the Prague Spring, has had to cancel for health reasons and will be replaced by Tomáš Gugis. The International Music Festival will run in a number of parallel venues in Prague until the 3rd of June, offering 40 concerts. Turning now to sports, Viktoria Plzeň have become Czech Football League winners for the sixth time in the club's history and the first time in 4 years. The West Bohemians sealed the title in the second last round of the top flight season's ending superstructure with a 2-0 away win over Hradec Králové. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday should be partly cloudy with rain in the eastern parts of the country and day temperatures between 21 and 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Here's what's coming up in today's programme. Viktoria Plzeň have won the Czech Football League. Also, the daughter of Czech hockey legend Dominik Hašek is set to represent the Czech Republic at Thursday's Eurovision semi-final. We also speak to the head of the newly founded Czech-Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce, and later we look at the importance of family trees through the eyes of our contributor Kevin Liu. All that is coming up, so please stay with us. Viktoria Plzeň have been crowned Czech soccer champions for the sixth time in their history. The West Bohemian club have surprised many, even their own coach, with their first title since 2018, as Ian Willoughby reports.
Loud cheers rang out after Viktoria Plzeň's 2-0 away victory over Hradec Králové on Wednesday night. But not immediately after the game in the penultimate round of the championship group, which pits the top teams from the regular season against one another. Players and fans had to undergo nervous moments waiting for the results of a match between Baník Ostrava and Slavia Prague, who were champions for the last three seasons in a row. When it ended in a draw, it meant Slavia, who had been first after 30 rounds, could no longer overhaul Pilsen on points. Cue ecstasy among the West Bohemian supporters. Former Czech national team boss Michal Bílek said winning the title with Pilsen was his greatest ever achievement as a coach.
It's unbelievable. The fact that we won is a huge surprise. When we began this season, I don't think any of us thought Plzeň would be fighting for the title and would win it. I'm glad for the guys. They did fantastic work.
Bílek said the group had taken the final part of the season one step at a time.
We hadn't spoken much or at all about winning toward the end of the competition. After every game, we evaluated it and moved on to the next match. I'm really delighted by how the boys carried it through to this kind of conclusion, because finishing ahead of Slavia and Sparta is a fantastic success.
Bílek said it had been a tough season with a large number of injuries at the beginning, contributing to Pilsen's failure to even qualify for Europe's third-tier Conference League. Victoria Pilsen became league champions for the first time in their history in 2011, the club's centenary. Since then, they've lifted the title six times, with their latest success the first in 4 years. Captain Lukáš Hejda has been involved in no fewer than five of those championships, but he says this season's title is the sweetest yet. He told reporters a lot of the credit this time had to go to Michal Bílek.
He's a great coach, of course. He's able to create the perfect dressing room. His ability to analyse the competition is top-notch, and he always made us follow tactics tailor-made for each opponent. I appreciate that. For me, he's a total dude.
And Hejda didn't neglect to praise his teammates either.
They're a band of warriors who never give up. We turned games around even when we played badly. We also managed the tough matches against Sparta and Slavia. This title proves we're a band of warriors, and that means a lot to me.
And Victoria Pilsen will be the only Czech team in qualification for next season's Champions League.
In our next slightly sport-related story, Dominika Hašková, the daughter of the Czech ice hockey legend Dominik Hašek, will represent the Czech Republic at this year's Eurovision Song Contest. The 27-year-old singer and her band called We Are Domi won the national round with a song called Lights Off, with which it will compete in the Eurovision semi-final in Italy's Turin on Thursday night, as Ruth Frankova reports.
I lost my soul, forgot my way. There's no mistakes that I've not made. Change is hard and I...
We Are Domi, a Czech-Norwegian alternative electropop band, was established in 2016 in Great Britain, where all its three members studied at the Leeds College of Music. Apart from singer Dominika Domi Hašková, it also includes guitarist Kasper Hatlestad and keyboardist Benjamin Rekstad, who are both from Norway. The trio, who first performed together for one of Dominika's vocal recitals, are not only music collaborators but also good friends who have spent the last 2 years living in the Czech Republic. We Are Domi's entry for Eurovision is a song called Lights Off, an energetic and uplifting song influenced by electronic dance music. According to Dominika Hašková, it is about picking up the pieces of one's life and starting over again.
We're putting out music for everyone to take whatever they need, whatever meaning they need from the song to make them feel better or happier or whatever. But what I like to say is that the theme is... like when you go out into the rain and dance and cry at the same time.
Although she has Czech parents, Dominika was born in the United States while her father, the famous hockey goaltender Dominik Hašek, was playing for the NHL's Buffalo Sabres. Dominika has been interested in music since early childhood, and at the age of 15 she has already competed in the Czechoslovakia's Got Talent competition. As a coincidence, her father Dominik Hašek played with the Czech national hockey team in the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin and won the bronze medal in the Pala Olimpico, the exact same venue in which his daughter will take the stage at Eurovision on Thursday evening.
Where are you now when I missed you? You're sailing around in my peripheral. Where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now?
The Eurovision Song Contest always takes place in the country of the previous year's winner. Although it is now in its 66th year, the Czech Republic took part for the first time in 2007 and only 10 times in total. The most successful Czech contestant so far was the singer Mikolas Josef, who took 6th place in 2018. A year later, the indie pop band Lake Malawi finished just one spot below the top 10. Among the favourites of the 66th edition is the British singer Sam Ryder and the Ukrainian band Kalush Orchestra. The grand final of the Eurovision Contest 2022 is due to take place in the Pala Olimpico on Saturday night.
And with that catchy song from Dominika Hašková and her band, we move to the next story today. This week saw the establishment of the Czech-Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce. The organisation will support business cooperation between the two countries both during and after the war. To find out what this cooperation may look like, I spoke to the president of the chamber, Petr Krogman, a Czech businessman who owns a major agricultural company in Ukraine.
Fights not only for itself, it fights also for our freedom. It fights to prevent the Russian army being in Central Europe in 2 years. The war will last for months, maybe for years. We know that Russia loves frozen conflicts, and we have to do business also in the meantime. So we must start immediately, not to allow that the economy of Ukraine will bankrupt. It must work, it must go on, and this is what the Ukrainians are ready to do, and we should help them.
If we look a bit at sort of past statistics as far as trade and business is concerned, from 2018, Czech companies have been exporting to Ukraine 30 billion crowns worth of business items, and roughly 60% of those was related to machinery and transportation. I was wondering, you know, are these the sort of sectors where you see most potential for cooperation in, or are there some other ones which you would like to highlight where you think, you know, that Czech and Ukrainian companies might find business together?
This is mainly about automotive and machinery. It will remain one of the important areas, but we have to know that reconstruction of Ukraine after the war will be maybe even more important, and it will be also a big opportunity for Czech companies. It will be necessary to rebuild transshipment capacities in ports, in railroads. There will be a big reconstruction of cities, so a lot of materials will be necessary for Ukraine. And I also think that the railroads of Ukraine should be reconstructed to European standards. That means to have the same width of rails as Europe, not as Russia. And it will also help to connect, integrate Ukraine to Europe more, and it will create a natural barrier on the border with Russia, which, based on the last experience, we see as pretty important.
Ukraine is, of course, known as the breadbasket of Europe, and it is one of the chief grain exporters in the world. Its agricultural produce fed 400 million people before the war around the world. And, of course, you yourself are the owner of a company that ranks among Ukraine's top 30 agricultural producers. And some of your fields are occupied by the Russian army, if I'm not mistaken. So what prospects do you see in this agricultural sector for cooperation between the Czech Republic and Ukraine? Are there any?
Producing enough grain, so Czech Republic does not need to import grain or agriculture products, just maybe sunflower oil from Ukraine. What Czech companies could do is to help with these transshipment capacities. Our building industry is pretty experienced, so maybe this would be the way how to cooperate with Ukraine. But I would not see import of agriculture commodities into Czech Republic as the main issue.
Yeah. I wasn't talking about the imports, more about, you know, for example, machineries that could be used.
There are many Czech companies which are exporting machinery into Ukraine, like Strom, Farmet. We are even buying their machinery in Ukraine and using it there. So this would be the case.
And I know you've just been set up very recently, but how many companies have joined, or how many companies have expressed interest in joining the Chamber of Commerce? Could you tell us in which sort of sectors they're from?
We have 10 founding members and approximately 20 other companies already and talking about joining the Chamber. Among the founding members is, for example, Ravak, which is a big Czech company. They've got also a factory near Kyiv where they employ hundreds of Ukrainian workers. They supply equipment for flats or showers, etc. We've got lawyers amongst the founding members. We've got agriculture company among them. So it is from agriculture through the business to services, all the scale.
And I was speaking there to Petr Krogman, a Czech businessman active in the agriculture business in Ukraine, who has been named the president of the newly established Czech-Ukrainian Chamber of Commerce. Just a reminder now that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day, where our external contributor, Kevin Liu, reflects on the family trees in his life and how our roots play an important part of who we are and where we go.
A people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. Marcus Garvey. When I was around 6 or 7 years old, we were given a homework assignment. My teacher smiled excitedly at the class, peering over her moon-shaped glasses. Did you know that many of us have great-great-great-grandparents that probably came from England by boat to Australia? Go home and ask your parents to help you trace back your family tree. A week later, my classmates returned to school with large pieces of paper. Their sheets showed large trees with branches extending across many generations of English, Irish, German, French, Scottish, and other miscellaneous European ancestors. My great-great-great-great-grandfather was sent here as a prisoner because he stole a loaf of bread. My second cousin's husband's auntie's grandmother worked for the Queen. My family owns a vineyard castle in Europe. Meanwhile, my family tree was more of a small shrub than an impressive oak. What happened to your tree, Kevin? My teacher asked with a kind gesture. I don't know. We don't have much information going that far back. Of course, my parents had photos and stories of their childhoods, and East Asian culture dictates that family and tradition take utmost importance. However, as forebears migrated and re-migrated across continents, languages, and cultures, the exact information had been lost along the way. When the wind blows, the grass bends. Confucius. Almost 3 decades later, I find myself in a similar conversation. Visiting the Czech family I married into, we are looking at aged pictures of dour-looking, formally dressed clans. The people in the pictures are arranged neatly in rows, scowling through the decades that span between us and them. This was the great-uncle of my grandmother. He was sent to the Gulag, and we think he had a secret family in Russia. Oh, this one looks just like you today. Look, you have her chin and nose. My wife's Czech roots run deep. Her family's story unfolded alongside world history as kingdoms and regimes ticked away, much like the Stalin Monument metronome in Letná. We trace distant cousins and spouses to perhaps find Polish or Jewish roots. We try to uncover who fought in which war and for which Kaiser or Tsar. We laugh at their clothes and wonder at what kind of food they ate. How strange now that my family tree from such a far-flung end of the earth is now forever entwined with hers. As my parents left their homeland for a foreign country, I too now find myself in a home away from home. In comparison with these family trees with roots that run so deep, my family story reads more like a spanning field of grass. I see this not as a weakness, but as a strength in itself. After all, the wind can blow a mighty oak down, but the grass knows how to flow with it. You can't really run from your roots. Young Lean. As my name on the family tree begins to branch out on its own, I think about the question of roots and heritage looming large over my daughter's tiny, non-month-old head. We have set up home here in Prague for the time being, but who knows what the future holds. Uprooting a plant or tree to another plot of soil is common botanical practice. However, it does require some amount of care and healthy ground in order for the plant to flourish in new surroundings. And with that replotting, new fruit can grow and trees can bloom for others to enjoy. Look around today, and you'll see a changing Czech Republic. There are people crisscrossing into the country from all over the globe. Ballerinas from Japan, artists from Nigeria, students from Hong Kong, teachers from the UK, scientists from Colombia, mothers and daughters from Ukraine. Who knows what language you may hear in the trams now? My own family tree may be small when compared to my classmates from childhood or my Czech extended families today. But each individual branch is filled with story, drama, and meaning. No one really wants to run from their roots. And even if you do, you will always carry your family's legacy with you. It's in examining those branches and roots that we can learn much about ourselves and even more about each other. And that's just for one small branch. How much more can we benefit by appreciating the forest around us, even as it grows before our very eyes?
And that short feature was brought to you by one of our contributors, Kevin Liu. You can check out more of his articles on what it's like to live as an expat in the Czech Republic on our website, radio.cz. But that is all for now from me, Tom McEncrow, and the whole Radio Prague International team. We thank you very much for tuning in and wish you a lovely rest of the day.